Everywhere you look, the Christian faith is under attack. Governments cater to radical Muslims, but Christians are fair game. It seems the world has gone topsy-turvy, and many ask the question, is God really in charge? Today, Erwin Lutzer traces some blatant attacks on Christians, but then takes us to the Bible for the assurance that despite all we see around us, God is still in control. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer begins a series on what happens when God shows himself. The first display of God's control of all things is shown in Psalm 2, when the sun is crowned.
Well, did you know that there is a war going on, even in America, against Christianity? Are you aware that groups like the ACLU want to criminalize all public expressions of Christianity, wherever it is found? I read a book just about that recently, in fact, within the last 3 weeks. One example of hundreds that could be given, a man in a workplace, there was a poster advertising gay rights events and homosexual activities. So in his workplace, in his cubicle, he put some verses of scripture, and for that he was fired. This was not China, this was not Canada or Sweden, this was Boise, Idaho. The Ninth Circuit of Appeals said an employer need not accommodate an employee's religious beliefs if doing so would result in discrimination against his co-workers or deprive them of contractual or other statutory rights. Goodbye. Dozens of examples of that. And then you think of Montana. Ain't much going on in Montana, huh? A man who owned a convenience store sold all kinds of awful pornography, and then he was gloriously converted, and he took out all the pornography, and he put up Bibles for sale and gave out tracts to anyone who wanted them. The Human Rights Commission filed a complaint that he had a hostile work environment because of the Bibles. Somebody would have complained about the pornography. That's just his First Amendment rights. Canada, remember that good country of Canada? How well do I remember Canada? Pastor by the name of Mark Harding objected to the school in his district giving out copies of the Quran to all the students and giving the Muslims their own room to pray in during school hours. He objected because he said, if you're going to do that for them, you should at least give out Bibles too. So that we're fair here. For that, he was indicted. The Supreme Court of Canada did not defend him. He was given 2 years of probation, 340 hours of community service that he has to perform in a Muslim center, and all that because he thought that there should be equality. And furthermore, he received 3,000 letters and emails, many of them death threats, and when he went to trial, he needed police protection because an angry group of Muslims was shouting, "You rebels will burn in hell." So he needed protection, but that was not hate speech. His was, and that was the consequence, and that's the great dominion of Canada. There's so much that I could tell you about this that you wouldn't even want to hear. Maybe in a different context, I'll get an opportunity to do that. Anthony Brown, who's an atheist. Sometimes we don't expect support from atheists, but sometimes it comes our way, even from them. He has done research on the whole business of persecution, and he wrote an article that was really eye-catching. He says that 300 million Christians are threatened with violence and discriminated against throughout the whole world, especially in places like Saudi Arabia. And in Indonesia, 10,000 Christians, he says, have been killed by radical Muslims. 10,000 Christians. And the interesting part of the article, he says, that no other religion is being persecuted like Christianity. It is the one religion that is being attacked all over the world. That's what comes from the research of an atheist. Well, I need to ask you this question. Is God indifferent to all of this? Is God saying to himself, you know, I've created a world and these human beings, and they're out of control, and I don't know what to do about them? No. God's not indifferent as a result of what is happening on this planet. The text today is Psalm 2. Psalm 2. It's a marvelous psalm that reminds us of the fact that God is in control. Actually, this psalm can be divided into four different paragraphs or four different sections. And really what you have is four different voices that are speaking in this psalm. And we're going to look at those voices one by one. And we're going to see what God is doing about his world. First of all, in verses 1 to 3, you have the voice of the nations. It is a voice of rebellion. The question is asked, why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. The voice of the nations, rebellion, they're plotting. They rage, and they're raging against God. First of all, they are plotting together. You'll notice the text there in verse 2. They take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. Now, this was really fulfilled when Jesus was here on earth, because the Herodians, the followers of Herod, and Pilate, they did not get along well. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, these various groups, all had their individual differences and they had their wars between each other. But when it came to crucifying Christ, they said, let us get together to do it. That's what the book of Acts says. They conspired together to have Jesus crucified. I'm not saying that there's a gigantic, wide world conspiracy against Christianity, but it is fed from an underground stream. And the underground stream is in the spirit world, where there is a being called Satan who hates Jesus, who hates Christians. And as a result of that, Christianity is being uniquely targeted. We shouldn't complain. I'm not complaining. I'm only reporting today. And there is a difference. So all of these people are getting together, and what are they doing? They're plotting an overthrow. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. Let's get rid of this God who is interfering with the lives that we really want to live. A God that will allow pornography and call it free speech, but a God who will tear down the verses of scriptures in somebody's cubicle and have him fired. Let us break their bands asunder. Let us cast away their cords from us. They might not even know that they're taking on the God of the universe, but that's what lies behind their rebellion. Let's take, for example, the issue of evolution, atheistic evolution. Have you ever thought of how difficult it is to believe in atheistic evolution? Edward Tyron, who was a physicist, says that he thinks that the worlds created themselves. The earth created itself out of nothing. Excuse me? That at one time there was nothing, and then suddenly, with no personality involved, with no God, there was something, and you have this whole order of arrangement, and you have the stars and the planets that run with such incredible precision that we set our watches by them, and it all came from nothing, when we all know that from nothing, nothing comes unless God speaks. Are you telling me that nothing times nobody equals everything? Is that what you're really saying? Wasn't it Carl Sagan who said that the entire universe was all in one single atom? In fact, a particle smaller than an atom. And then it broke apart, and in one millionth of a second, you have all of the elements coming together in a way that is so peculiar that one evolutionist said there is only one chance in a trillion that it would happen, but it did happen. You know what he's saying? There's only one chance in a trillion that what I believe is right. The other possibility is that God intervened. Why is it that intelligent design, which is so powerful and which has demonstrated that atheistic evolution is not only improbable but absolutely totally impossible, why can't it even be taught in schools? Well, I think Julian Huxley really let the cat out of the bag. Some time ago in an interview, he said, the reason we accepted Darwinism even without proof is because we didn't want God to interfere with our sexual mores. That's the reason. We don't want God. We want to do our own thing. Let us break his bands asunder. Let us cast his cords from us. And let us be really, truly, radically free to commit any sin that we want and to live any way that we do. We don't want God. That's the voice of the nations. It's a voice of rebellion. Well, in the next three verses, you have the voice of God the Father. He's got something to say. It says in verse 4, he who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then will he speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. Oh, God's done something. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and yes, God has done something. Today, everyone wants to take Jesus Christ and blend him in with other religions and other gurus and teachers. They want to simply make him one of the boys, if I can put it in that language. But the Bible indicates that Jesus Christ is unique, and certainly Psalm 2 indicates that, doesn't it? That I have set my king upon Zion, my holy hill. And he's the one who's going to reign. And all of the other teachers and gurus are going to bow before him and admit that he is King of Kings and that he is Lord of Lords. So, my friend, today, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of a world that seems to have run amok and lost its way, remember that God is working behind the scenes. Jesus Christ is going to rule and to reign. And I don't know when it is that he's going to come back to this earth. You have many different theories. Oftentimes people have set timelines and time charts, but all that can be dangerous. We've learned that because of the number of people who predicted when Christ would come, and they've been wrong. But would you be encouraged today if I were to tell you that Jesus Christ will come, and he is going to rule, and his enemies are going to be placed under his feet? It will happen. Even if we don't know the when, we do know that it will take place. So be encouraged, and meanwhile, you worship Jesus Christ yourself. Because if you don't do it here, you'll certainly do it there.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Today, Dr. Erwin Lutzer brought part one of When the Sun is Crowned, the first of four studies in the Psalms in a series on When God Shows Himself. Monday, more insights from Psalm 2 and a look at the futility of removing God from our culture. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Our four-part series on When God Shows Himself can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about When God Shows Himself. Visit our website at runningtowin.org. And don't forget, Running to Win is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Join us Monday for our next Running to Win.